Hello, and welcome to Wrestling Talk 102 with Phil Stevens. I, of course, am your host, Phil Stevens, and it's been a little while since I've done an episode, almost 2 weeks. I was kind of going over some comments from people, and excuse me, I was told to try to maybe keep things a little bit shorter, and so that is going to be what I'm doing from now on. And so looks like today what I've decided to do is to review AEW Dynamite from last week, kind of give my thoughts on it, just not go into so much detail, and you know, hopefully it'll be a little bit better listening for you guys. And I hope everyone on the 411 wrestling chat board enjoys this, have a chance to listen to it, and also give me any pointers that you guys might have. So let's start with Dynamite. We'll get right into it. They had a nice little opener with Hangman Page going at it against Ricky Starks of Team Taz. Fun little opener. I feel like Ricky Starks is somewhat of a project for AEW at this point. I know he came over from NWA. Or NWA Power, I guess you should call it, which I don't know if they started back up, but I know they were getting ready to. So that's something to look forward to. As far as that goes, I have enjoyed at least a majority of what I've seen out of that company, only for them to start losing their people during the pandemic. Like Eli Drake, who's now going by LA Knight over in NXT, Ricky Starks as well. Thunder Rosa, I'm not 100% sure where she is going to be permanently, or if she's just going to kind of jump around NWA, AEW, and maybe in Mexico a little bit. So we'll have to keep tabs on that. But yeah, I definitely look forward to NWA and checking it out once they come back. And just a little side note on the NWA. Sorry to get off topic a little bit, but I believe that Nick Aldis is probably the definition of what a world champion in its most classic sense is these days. You know, we all remember Ric Flair from back in the 80s. Dressing to the nines, acting like he's better than everyone else, carrying around that championship with pride. That, to me, is what Nick Aldis is right now. In the other companies, Lashley, I don't really see him doing that. He just seems more like a guy that's like, I know I can beat you because I'm a big, powerful guy. But I don't feel WWE has had a champion, like, in the classic sense since, I would say since Triple H, back in 02, 03 years, even into 04 a little bit. Roman Reigns, you know, he more is just like the badass. I feel like he's going to have a dominant run. But just the look that all this has just reminds me more of Ric Flair. And then, Kenny Omega, maybe. I mean, he's getting there, but I still don't see anyone that's better at showing what a world champion should look like than Nick Aldis is right now. So anyway, back to Hangman Page and Ricky Starks. They had a fun little match. I feel like they're really going for that slow build with Page to challenge Omega. I mean, it could be ultimately the best story, I think, in, since Daniel Bryan's run to WrestleMania 30, which all we all remember was a long, slow storyline that eventually we got our payoff at WrestleMania 30 with Bryan winning in the main event. So as long as this storyline with Hangman's going somewhere, he's number one, I believe, still ranked in AEW. So technically he's next in line, but there's not a lot of talk of it. I think probably because he has such recent conflict with Kenny Omega when they met in the World Title Eliminator Tournament. So we'll see where this goes. I mean, he's been hanging around the Dark Order a lot, and, you know, getting win after win after win after win. So I feel like they are building him up to be that next guy. How they get there, who knows? Obviously, got to get Moxley out of the picture going forward and get him into some other feud somewhere. Because right now he's just the one hanging around Omega right now, and being the thorn in his side. Anyway, Hangman wins a match over Ricky Starks, and you know, the right man won. Ricky Starks, I just feel like, needs a little bit more ability to really show what he can do, whether that be on AEW TV or whether that be on AEW Dark Elevation, which, again, I got to start watching every week, because I think it just has more of a like a WWF Superstars feel, where you go out there and you have your quick squashes, great, and then you eventually move your way up to big matches on Dynamite. So from there, we had a little match between Penta El Zero Miedo and Trent, I should say Trent, because now they have a question mark behind his name. As far as Penta goes, and Alex Marvez, who has been managing him, following Penta around, I feel like those two might be just better suited to go it alone from now on. Penta comes off very heelish, and especially in this match, Alex Marvez got involved and hit Trent with a microphone while the referee's back was turned, leading to a Penta victory. But then, you know, they have him in the death triangle, and they've been coming off recently as faces, Pac and Rey Fénix. But then, you know, you have Penta doing all sorts of heelish stuff with Alex Marvez. So, not that I want to see death triangle disband, but and maybe they're just trying to, you know, not have solid faces and heels. But I mean, it seems like so far Penta has kind of gone back and forth on the face heel thing, almost as much as we've seen Big Show do it in the past. So, you know, who knows what they're wanting to do there, with him. Penta, of course, one of the best wrestlers on the AEW roster. You know, can always give you a 4-star match pretty easily. Let's see what he can do on his own. I think he needs to kind of get away from his cousin Rey Fénix, who has been having absolutely banging matches. Has had two recent 5-star matches on Dynamite, as rated by Dave Meltzer. Excuse me. The first one was against Kenny Omega, and then which was a singles match, and then the other one was the tag team title match with him and Pac against the Young Bucks. So if you haven't seen those yet, definitely check those out. Other than that, pretty much the story with this match is Death Triangle and Best Friends. It looks like they might start having a little bit of a feud, because Best Friends feel like they own, or feels like they owe Death Triangle payback for an attack that was prior. So we'll see where this goes. and we'll move on from there. From there, we had a nice little promo from MJF, who pretty much calls out Jericho, says he's just going after Jericho's spot, and that's all he's striving for. He's jealous of Jericho's spot, wants to move up the card because Jericho is pretty cemented into that spot on Dynamite. He's going to be featured every week. So I felt it was a very heartfelt promo, and starts teasing and building up the Blood and Guts match that'll be a week from tonight, actually, which is going to be kind of like War Games. And we also got to hear Wardlow speak. I don't remember ever hearing him speak on camera. Pretty much said for Jericho to keep his name out of his mouth. And I think they could do a lot with Wardlow being a big guy. AEW is not really known right now for doing a lot with big guys. He's definitely one of the pet projects they could use for that, though. Because it seems like they've kind of forgotten about Jake Hager and how much of a badass he's been lately. So we'll see where they go with that. Hopefully Wardlow has a pretty dominant run in that Blood and Guts match between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. Then we got my girl Ty Conti. She's probably my favorite female wrestler in AEW. I can't really say she's my overall favorite female wrestler because the NXT women's division is just so deeply talented, and AEW hasn't come close to that yet. They could definitely get back to that as more girls come back after the pandemic is hopefully over soon. Hopefully we get more Rio Mizunami hanging around. And then the little genie looking girl, gosh, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's so fun. And actually went to the semifinals of that women's championship eliminator tournament. So hopefully, the AEW women's division as a whole will get better. Ty Conti got her shot on this episode at Hikaru Shida for the AEW women's title. Just a little history on Conti if you don't know anything about her prior to AEW. She was in NXT, and I feel like she was absolutely wasted playing up the martial arts, jiu-jitsu background of Ty Conti. She was known there as Tainara Conti. And they really just didn't do anything with her. She'd get like her random token wins, but never got into a major storyline over in NXT. And so, she was, at this point now she's ended up in AEW and they're making her a star. She was up until this match ranked number one in the women's division. And I got a little bummed out because she did not capture the AEW women's title at this time. And which is, it's a big bummer, I feel like, because I'm just tired of Shida. I mean, she's been a pandemic champion. She's done well, but, just her overcoming every women's wrestler that's come in contact with her, I feel like they should have used this pandemic to really test out other stars and give other people runs with titles. Shida now has been champion, I believe, almost for a year. So right now we're seeing a lot of buildup with Dr. Britt Baker talking each week now about how she's moving up in the rankings because people have lost. So actually at the end of this match, Britt Baker came out and due to, I believe it was Red Velvet and now Ty Conti losing, she says that she is now the number one contender. So I expect Britt Baker to actually win that title. She definitely deserves a run with it. She has been a godsend on the mic for AEW throughout the pandemic. Even just on the mic, because she was injured. I mean, she would have just great segments every week on Dynamite. So here's hoping that Britt Baker is the one to actually take it off of her here soon. But Ty had a really nice showing in the match. But Sheeta got the win with the katana. I did kind of feel the energy in Daly's place kind of go out when Conti lost, because I think everyone wanted her to win that match, at least the limited fans that were in attendance. We also got to have a nice little match. Got to see Billy Gunn in the ring. I know he wrestles a lot on Dark Elevation with his sons. I have no idea how old the guy is now, but he's still doing his thing, which is nice to see. A little nostalgia for us as far as that goes. He has, like I said, gotten his two sons involved. And so he had this matchup with QT Marshall, who has just started this faction known as the Factory. Yep, another faction in AEW. Starting to look more and more like Stable Wars, like in New Japan. So if you like that, great. If you don't like it, AEW might not be something for you to watch, because that's what we're getting more and more, like I've said in the past. We're even getting stables built up on Elevation. The one that's on Elevation that I've seen is Ryan Nemeth, Cesar Bononi, and JD Drake, I believe is his name. So everywhere you look, there's a faction. So I would say get on the faction train, because there's just going to be more and more. So QT has disbanded from the Nightmare Factory and just started this factory with Aaron Solo, Anthony Ogogo, and then Nick Camarado, who I couldn't remember his name last time when I talked about AEW. But he's a big beastly guy that looks like they're going to try to build him up as a beast. One thing I don't really understand is the Aaron Solo, putting him in there as part of that factory. I don't think the guy has any charisma. I think Bailey dumping him was only the start of his downfall. They could have done really something really interesting and put Austin Gunn in there, have him turn on his dad and the Nightmare family and put him in the factory, because I feel like the kid could really use the exposure. At this point, I don't think he's as talented as his dad, but hopefully given time, we'll see more out of Austin Gunn. QT Marshall did end up getting in the win over Billy Gunn with the Diamond Cutter. After Ogogo hit his little body shot of death on Billy Gunn. And then Dustin Rhodes decided to come down and go after QT Marshall, but Camarado distracting him kind of led to Rhodes actually breaking the chair over Camarado's head and him pretty much no-selling it. So if that's how you want to build up a beast, great. Have him no-sell a wooden chair, which wasn't the last time we ever saw a wooden chair in wrestling. I don't remember the last time. But Rhodes ended up using a bull rope on Marshall as a weapon, got a shot in with it. So this could be leading to a Texas bull rope match with Rhodes versus Marshall. So that'd be something to keep watching. We had a little thing with Christian Cage having a match against Powerhouse Hobbs. This, of course, built up by from when Hobbs attacked Christian Cage on Dynamite the week prior. And, you know, Christian just, he's not doing a lot for me in AEW. I do applaud him for coming back to wrestling, but he isn't the wrestler he once was. And he should be putting over the younger talent. This younger talent should not be putting him over, in my mind. Granted, he hasn't had many matches. I think this is either his second or third match on Dynamite. He had one against Kazarian, which, I mean, they're around the same age anyway. So it was that was a nice first win for him in the company. But Powerhouse Hobbs, I felt like, should have won this match. Christian did end up winning it, though. But he might actually benefit from forming his own stable and to kind of take some of the focus off of him. Because I just don't, I'm just not buying this whole outwork everyone tagline that he's got. And AEW really needs to justify the hype that they gave him coming in. Just this outwork everyone, it's just not how to build someone. It just comes off as lame and a little bit lazy. But I'm sure we'll get another stable with him to go against Team Taz. He does hit the Unprettier on Powerhouse Hobbs, or the Kill Switch, whatever they're calling it these days. I've always called it the Unprettier because Kill Switch was, I don't know, I just thought it was a stupid name. Then we did get a really fun main event with Darby Allin and Jungle Boy. Darby ended up winning with his little leg trap pin. But I got to say, I'm getting so bored with Darby Allin being this indestructible champion. He's not what that title deserves. They're having him, I mean, literally the guy, it just seems like he can't be beat. He takes all sorts of punishment throughout the match and then just perseveres and wins. I mean, you know, he'll go through tables. He'll be pretty much ragdolled in that ring by everyone he faces, but still comes out on top. And I'm just buying it. I'm just not buying it. If they want to really get the title over as something that is, sacred in AEW, they need someone to come out and just beat the shit out of Darby Allin, like when Brody beat Cody in that decisive, whatever, I think it was like a 3-minute match or something like that on Dynamite when Brody, rest in peace, of course, when he came out and beat Cody and then broke the old TNT title over Cody's head in the bag. I thought that was a nice little touch. And he should have had a longer reign, but, you know, his health problems and everything, just a sad thing. Still not real that Brody Lee's gone. But what they need to do is have someone dominant run with a title and use, different methods of victory, in my mind. To me, the best part of WCW TV title was that the TV time limit was always in play, and certain champions would only retain because of the time limit expiring. You remember William Regal or Lord Steven Regal. I believe Beautiful Bobby would do that all the time. Stunning Steve Austin. They would all use that TV time limit to their advantage to retain. And it just needs to come back with whoever beats Darby. I would like to see MJF get a run with it. Ricky Starks, even QT Marshall would be fun as TNT champ, because I feel like QT could be a really heel, just a chicken shit champion of the TNT title and just always escape by, any means necessary. So, I mean, we'll see from there where they go with this. I haven't seen them really build up anyone to TV title or to a TNT championship level yet to beat Darby. But maybe we'll get it out of nowhere, kind of like how we did the whole Brody Lee thing eventually. But, that's going to be for another week as Darby retained again over Jungle Boy, who I really thought was possibly going to win this match. He had had a pretty nice little singles match win streak going. I believe his little finisher is called like the snare trap or something. His submission, and he's been getting by people with that. So AEW, let's get someone new in there. Darby's run his course. He's got too much going with Sting. It just gets old how Sting's just coming out and, you know, running off everyone and causing distractions in matches and then just having Darby retain after that. So we'll see. We'll see if we get that. There was also a promo from the Inner Circle on the program talking about Blood and Guts, which again is going to be kind of like a War Games scene. I do expect it to be very violent, and I am much looking forward to that next Wednesday. So we will just have to wait until tonight and see how they keep building to Blood and Guts. And I believe that we have a little bit of a preview for AEW Dynamite tonight. Taking a look here. So for an update on what we have going tonight, Kenny Omega is going to have an appearance to discuss his win at Impact Wrestling Rebellion, where he won the Impact World Championship to go with the AEW World title and the AAA Mega title that he has. So hopefully we'll kind of see where his next challenge comes from, whether it be someone from Impact coming over, maybe Moose. I really don't see any other viable options over an Impact right now other than Moose, who it seems like they've been really building up. We also have TNT Championship on the line tonight again, Darby Allin versus Dark Order 10. I don't expect Darby Allin to lose to 10. I did, however, expect him a few weeks ago to lose to John Silver. I thought that would have been a really fun title change. Unfortunately, it didn't go down and Silver got injured, so we have a few weeks without seeing him in the ring. The guy's just such a white meat baby face. I love John Silver. I think they can do big things with him, and hopefully eventually they'll introduce another title. Maybe for people lower down on the card. So Johnny can get a run with that. There's a title eliminator match tonight as well. Young Bucks versus Matt and Mike Seidel. Definitely expect the Bucks to win that. They are on quite the wrestling heater right now. We have Penta El Zero Miedo versus Orange Cassidy tonight. Depending on whether or not Alex Marvez gets involved, we'll see where they go with that. Maybe they'll have the Death Triangle go all back to being heel. We'll have to see on that. Chris Statlander is going to have a match against Penelope Ford. This, of course, stems from the, Arcade Anarchy from a few weeks ago, where Chris Statlander jumped out of the claw machine and jumped Penelope Ford. We'll have the Nightmare Family versus the Factory tonight. I don't have the exact rundown of who's going to be in that match, but I expect the Factory to win that match to kind of keep building them up. We have a parlay tonight between Inner Circle and Pinnacle in the ring. So they'll finish their hype for Blood and Guts, which, of course, again, is a week from tonight. There's also a match, Brian Cage versus Hangman Page. So I expect big things from there. And we'll see how serious they are about Hangman. If he can get by Cage, that would be huge. I also feel like they need to start defending that FTW championship. I feel like they need to make that a thing again. We'll see where that goes. I do feel like Brian Cage might be leaving Team Taz soon to kind of do his own thing. Maybe he goes and joins Christian. And they can have two cages in there. So, of course, we'll have Kenny Omega speak. So, nice little solid episode of Dynamite we're looking forward to tonight. we need a little bit more build toward this Blood and Guts, and hopefully we'll get it tonight on Dynamite. So depending on where you are, be sure to check out Dynamite tonight. I will have a review coming soon. I'm definitely going to start doing more of these, just kind of like short, like I've done this one. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this. If you guys have anything to say, make sure to drop comments on the Apple Podcast page. You can write me a review. I will definitely post this in 411 Mania chat board as well, so you guys can check it out. And again, always thank you guys for listening, and we will see you guys next time on Wrestling Talk 102.